Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN. Perform, workout, energize as GenerationUCAN.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation. This last year, we sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. To help out, go to challengedathletes.org and check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Babbittville.com. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, you've seen him on the cover of ESPN Magazine on their Heroes Edition, and you've watched him winning the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance at the ESPYs. His name is Rob Mendez. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling, Bob. This is awesome. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time. It was such an honor the other day when all of a sudden I come downstairs and there you are in the lobby of our Challenged Athletes Foundation building. It was so cool to meet you.
Yeah, it was just so coincidental that I ran into your buddy Steve there at Starbucks down the street. And he told me about the foundation and invited me over, and I was just staying right there down the street, so it all worked out.
That is so cool. So talk a little bit about you growing up. Tetra-anelia syndrome, that's what you were diagnosed with?
Yeah, that's what the scientific word is, I guess, but I used to just call it born without arms and legs.
Exactly.
It's a rare case where people are born with all four missing limbs, and fortunately I've been blessed with other abilities where I can use my mind as well as my thought process, my desire to live the way I want to live independently. And I feel like within independence and figuring out day by day, I'm very blessed in other ways. But yeah, I was born without any arms and legs, and coached high school football, and getting into my 15th year of coaching high school football here. And like I said, I'm truly blessed for other abilities.
So growing up, how was school for you? I mean, a lot of times when kids are different, sometimes kids aren't the nicest.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I never really dealt with anything too dramatic, like any kind of bullying or anything like that.
Good.
I was always a part of, with a big group of friends, and I grew up in a cul-de-sac where we all knew each other, and the elementary school was just right around the corner, so we all kind of knew each other. We were all from the same neighborhood, and fortunately, I never really dealt with anything like that. There were times where me and my friends would get into, I guess you can say, differences. And I just remember, reflecting back on it. Sometimes once in a while when we were younger, they would kind of go there and, try to test me within, like, oh, you can't do this. And I would be strong enough and to realize and I guess be wise enough not to kind of bite into all that or anything like that.
And
but go ahead.
I was going to say, and when did you develop this love of football?
Well, it started actually when I was a young kid. I was always into sports. My father and my grandfather, we grew up watching ESPN and SportsCenter at night, and I was actually a hockey fan at first. My dad took me to my first Sharks game when I was 5 years old, and I sat right behind the glass at the San Jose Arena, it was called back then, and I actually just fell in love with the action, the contact and the energy of the sport. And as I grew older, I realized, football was more around. More accessible. There's more leagues to be a part of, but I never joined when I was a child. My friends were always a part of a Pop Warner team and things like that. So when I was in high school, I actually went to practice with them one day in my freshman year, and I kind of sat a distance from practice. And then eventually, after going for, I think it was the third day, one of the coaches waved me over and he asked me, hey, would you like to be, part of the huddle? And he kind of included me in a part of everything. And at the end of practice, he asked me if I would like to have a jersey. And, as a 14-year-old kid, I looked up with these big old eyes and I said, oh, heck yeah.
That's great.
Couldn't go back on it. But ever since then, I've just been around the sport, 4 years in a row.
So I was going to say, ahead. So you with you were playing Madden, right? Playing Madden, and you were learning to diagram plays. Originally, was it on your – how did you diagram plays originally?
Like I was just going to say, you know, being around the sport in high school, you know, I absorbed a lot from the coaches.
Yeah.
And then I would kind of simulate it going back home. And back then it was a new feature to Madden, being able to create your own playbook. So I would create our playbook from high school and install it into Madden, and then also kind of, you know, put my own twist on it, I guess you can say, and just do my own plays within my playbook, within the high school playbook. But yeah, it was just something I was able to really collaborate within, being around it in person during the day, and then also I guess fulfilling my satisfaction of football and the competitiveness within it, and competing with my friends, and also on the internet as well. So yeah, Madden brought me a lot of inclusion, I guess you can say.
Absolutely. And then did you go on to college yourself in terms of academically?
I did. I went to Gavilan College at first, and then I went over to San Jose City College up in San Jose. I apologize for the background noise.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm cruising my wheelchair over to the coffee shop down the street. So, yeah. But, excuse me.
Not a problem. So college, you went to college up in San Jose State.
Yeah, I went to actually San Jose City College.
Oh, City College, yeah.
And I was in the process of working full-time, coaching football, and my full-time job kind of took up a lot of my time. You know, this was about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had about 46 units, so it's never too late for myself to go back, but I would like to go back and kind of finish up my AA, which I'm very close to receiving, as well as getting my bachelor's here in the near future. But, yeah, so that's definitely a desire of mine to happen in the near future, to make it happen.
So in terms of the progression as a college, like you said, you've been coaching for a long time. When did you get your break where all of a sudden you were either assistant coach or you made head coach?
Yeah, well, after 12 years of seeking a head coaching position, I ran into an opening online up here in Northern California. We use a website called EdJoin, and I was just surfing the website and noticed there was an opening, and Coach Cable, who was the varsity head coach, his contact information was there, and I reached out, emailed him, you know, we hit it off. We clicked right away, and we interviewed in the weight room. Sat and talked for about a good 30 minutes, and you know, we just spoke about life. And the thing I really enjoyed about Coach Cable was we were talking about philosophy and culture instead of the actual X's and O's aspect of football. And for me, culture is big, and being a part of something, you know, day in, day out, 6 days a week, I want to be part of something positive, uplifting, and that's what him and I were, you know, seeing, you know, agreeing on in our philosophies. You know, we're collaborating on a lot of things, and we're in agreement to, you know, having these kids, you know, fully dedicate themselves to the program, fully dedicate themselves to the school, their classrooms first, and also being good people before anything. And but yeah, it was a bond right away with Coach Cable and I. It was my 13th year. This was in 2018.
Yeah,
I got my first head coaching job at Prospect High School. And but yeah, I was very fortunate to meet Coach Cable and him hire me on board to be the JV head coach.
Was it, in terms of the kids, was there any question in terms of acceptance from the kids? It's like, okay, here's my coach. He's telling me how to block and how to throw and how to catch, and he's never done any of the above. Any of that?
Yeah, I mean, never directly, I guess you can say. There was never a moment where, you know, hey, coach, you can't do this. You know, why
right.
teach me this? There was nothing to that extent, but you know, I felt like there was some kind of resistance when I was when we were going through spring ball back in May of 2018. You know, you start out in spring ball, and anyways, the sophomores that were going to be sophomores, they already kind of had an idea of how the program went. They already had an idea how the system went with their, you know, playbook and things like that. And yeah, I was going to kind of change things a little bit But I think, you know, just putting my foot down, you know, right away, you know, making sure they know their expectations, making sure they know the rules and the disciplinary guidelines and things like that. And what I call it is nipping it in the butt. And when you nip it in the butt right away, you have no problems lingering. And I've seen that, you know, as an assistant day in and day out, or year in and year out, as I go through these programs when I was an assistant before I was a head coach. And when you let a problem linger, such as an attitude or any kind of grade problem or anything like that, what I like to do is, you know, just solve it right away instead of kind of just looking the other way. So I guess you can say within my, you know, upfront, my transparency with their expectations and things like that, you know, over time I gained, you know, a little bit of trust within the program from them, and they realized that, you know, this was it going forward. So fortunately, they caught on right before the season started, and it was a long summer ball. I had to kick, you know, three players off with a, you know, open mind that they might come back onto the team. And two of the three actually played all season long. The third one just was not able to get his grades up. And, you know, finally this year he did. But yeah, it was a challenge at first. But I think, you know, in the end, you know, us finishing 8-2 and us, you know, having a great bond within the locker room and things like that, it was, you know, the energy was awesome.
Well, especially when you get to the championship game, right? And winning is sort of a cure for everything.
yeah, definitely. And but I like to think, you know, it started with the kids, you know, really, really believing in themselves and just, you know, them trusting the process. And it was a great 2 years at Prospect.
What's fascinating is where did the "who says I can't" come from? Did that come during that year of coaching?
No, "who says I can't" actually, it comes from all the way when I was in middle school, actually. It was a funny story. My friends were challenging me, you know, that I couldn't dance with this, you know, pretty girl on the dance floor. And I said, "Oh, yeah, who says I can't?" So I went, you know, cruised over right next to her and did a few, you know,
little dance moves
around her. Yeah, exactly. Didn't, you know, shook my shoulders a little bit. She started laughing. And I guess you can say I had a little bit too much confidence back then. But I just wanted to show them that, you know, "Oh, yeah, who says I can't go and do this and go and do that?" So I just felt, you know, like I was out to, you know, prove myself and, you know, make sure people knew that, you know, I was able to do things other than just look at my disability, you know, look at my abilities. So I guess I always had that mindset. And my dad, you know, he always taught me and repeated, you know, to me, you know, don't feel sorry for yourself and things like that. And just focus on what you can do and what you're able to do. So
I remember
I was lucky to have really good parents.
One of our challenge athletes, Rudy Garcia Tolson's double above knee amputee, and he says the only disability is a bad attitude.
That's a great outlook on life.
Yeah,
for everyone.
Well, and it's funny because over the years, what I love is when we have challenge athletes participating in able-bodied events. A lot of times, your able-bodied guy, if he's going to be doing an Ironman triathlon and he's thinking about, "Oh my God, I'm going to be doing 2.4-mile swim and 112-mile bike ride and 26.2-mile run," and they're questioning their life decisions and why am I going to do this? And then they see Rudy or they see another challenge athlete, and then all of a sudden that disappears. All of a sudden it becomes, what am I concerned about? This kid's willing to do this. Rob Mendez is out there coaching and not letting anything get in his way. And people don't understand that, I mean, just to get up in the morning and do the things you have to do to get out of the house with somebody who has to be there all the time, you're basically doing a triathlon before you leave the house.
Yeah, I try not to focus on all those other areas. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we all have some kind of challenge and setback. And I just feel like, you know, within my, you know, thought process of figuring things out along the way, you know, I'm always going to be able to just to persevere through these challenges that life brings me in. And like I said, I have great people around me. So, I mean, I'm very blessed for the support as well as, you know, other abilities that I do have. But I try to count my blessings every day, Bob. Definitely.
So when Kristen Lapis contacted you, or you
somehow... I forgot. We both crossed paths, yeah.
Yeah, with Kristen. Things. Kristen created the amazing piece on Alex Ruiz that ran during this NFL Countdown and Super Bowl last February, And
yes,
then,
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then she created the piece on you that aired leading into the ESPYs. When did you meet Kristen, and when did she tell you that she wanted to tell your story?
So Kristen reached out in the year of 2016, actually, when I was with San Jose High. I was with San Jose High as an offensive coordinator for the varsity team, and she reached out and saw the article in the San Jose Mercury News. They did a small piece, and I was, you know, featured on the front cover. And she was in a coffee shop at the time when the article came out here in the Bay Area. I think she said she was in Oakland. Anyway, she reached out to the writer of the story, of the article, and the writer gave my contact information to Kristen. And at first, you know, when I was at work, because I worked in a call center at the time for a logistics company here in Gilroy, and I was going through emails, and I was just going through my personal email, and which I probably shouldn't have been doing because I was on the clock. But I was always looking for, you know, other coaching jobs in my other email. So anyways, I saw Kristen's email, and I couldn't believe it, you know, that ESPN, she had her ESPN tag at the bottom.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe that she reached out to me. And so I responded back, and she was, she set up a time and place where she can meet me here in Gilroy. She made it very convenient and, you know, cruised over to the Starbucks right where I, you know, nearby where I lived. And so she met up with me at the Starbucks, and she had told me that she would like for me to really strongly get a head coaching job this upcoming season. And actually, in 2017, which was the following year,
yeah,
I was unable to do so. So we didn't continue the story because I was unable to get a head coaching job. So the following year, in 2018, I reached out to her and asked her if she would be interested in continuing the story the following year. And good thing she accepted, and we ended up running with the story in 2018 when I got the job at Prospect.
That is so cool. And were you taken by surprise? I mean, one thing that she's going to do a story, it's another thing to end up on the cover of ESPN magazine.
Yeah.
You must be getting pulled over for something. What are you robbing a bank? What the hell are you doing up there?
No, man.
That's wild.
Away from this, all this street noise.
Man.
There's an ambulance that just passed by. Hopefully everything's okay.
So when you all of a sudden you're on the cover of ESPN magazine, and then they tell you, hey, Jimmy V Award for Perseverance, we're going to be honoring you with that. What was your response?
I mean, I was just shocked at first. I had no words. I was very shocked, very surprised when I, you know, first of all, when I went up to his office, that was amazing. When I went up to Jimmy Pitaro, who is the president of ESPN.
Yeah.
A lot of the anchors and other employees there were telling me that, you know, not a lot of people get to do that, you know, be invited to his office. So I knew something was kind of, you know, I was going to be surprised at something. So when he told me the news, you know, I just looked over at my mom and my father, and I just, you know, couldn't believe it. And I kind of broke down with some tears and gave him a hug, and, you know, had a great moment with my father. I was hugging him, and I just couldn't believe it. So I don't think I can ever top this, is what I tell a lot of people.
So when this video breaks on ESPN, which has the reach of, you know, millions, how did that change?
Yeah.
How did that change your world? Or did it?
It did, actually. I mean, a lot of it I had to get used to with, you know, some of the publicity, you know, going to Sharks games and being noticed at the Sharks games. And
yep.
And there was a few adjustments along the way, but, you know, everything, you know, for the most part, the support, I mean, if we're all honest with each other, we all love to be loved. And, you know, this whole story and has brought me a lot of love from other people that I don't even, you know, and to hear their stories on how, you know, it's helped them through their, you know, journey or whatever they're trying to accomplish in life. I think that's really the best part, is meeting these people and hearing their feedback and their support. So, you know, through all the other, you know, adjustments that I, you know, that I had to get used to along, you know, along this new lifestyle, it's been nothing but support. And I really appreciate everyone's feedback. You know, it's just the beginning, you know. Who knows where this all takes me? And
absolutely,
I'm very fortunate for all these other doors opening for myself in the career of coaching, and also being able to travel. I mean, I never thought I would make it out to New York City, let alone be, you know, trying to settle down there with you guys down there in San Diego. So, you know, I can't wait to really, you know, be stable down there. And like I said, it's opened up a lot of new doors for me. So I'm very blessed. for everything coming my way.
So are you, do you have a coaching job for this next year? Are you looking for a coaching job? What are the plans?
I am. So I'm hoping to, you know, keep my eye open on the district websites, as well as I think EdJoin is also used down there in San Diego, but basically, you know, networking, you know, word mm-hmm. of mouth and introducing myself. I think I'm going to set aside a good week or two just to visit the schools and just really get my name out there in San Diego, and hopefully land a varsity head coaching job. That's definitely a desire of mine to you know, interview and, you know, throughout the area of San Diego, which is a beautiful area.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, land a varsity head coaching job. So we'll see what comes of it. I know that, you know, sometimes there's not too many openings, but, you know, I just feel very confident this year in being able to accomplish that. So,
well, coming off of, you know, in 2018, going 8-2 and getting to the championship game, there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was fortunate to have some good kids these last 2 years.
So. That's awesome. And so are you moving to San Diego now, or is that happening in a little bit?
Yeah, so right now I'm in this, you know, transition phase is what I call it. And I've been doing a lot of traveling and sharing my story across the country. So for the next 5 months up until May, I'm going to be on the road at least 2 weeks out of the month.
Wow, so, that's great.
Yeah, it is. And it's very, you know, it's awesome, actually. I'm able to see all these different places. But yeah, so it's hard to settle down, though, within all of it. And right now, you know, I'm looking for a place, hopefully, to land in downtown just for now. And I really fell in love with the scenery of the harbor right there. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And there's, you know, what's great is getting out on the sidewalks right there along the bay. It's really an accessible city.
I was just going to say that, too, how accessible the sidewalks are and being able to cruise right next to the water.
Yep.
Oh, man, I feel so blessed, and I thank, you know, the Lord every day that I'm able to do all of this, let alone in Southern California in that beautiful weather. Yep. Just amazing.
So do you see down the line being a college coach?
Oh, definitely. You know, I don't want to hold myself back, and who knows if, you know, if the NFL ever calls my name, but that would be a dream of mine to, you know, just, you know, have a coaching job, whether if it's a head coaching or an assistant. But, you know, I don't want to ever, you know, hold myself back in this journey. And I would love to land a college job anywhere, really. I mean, as long as I have, you know, the circumstances all situated with my living arrangements, with my caretaking and things like that, I feel like, you know, I would be blessed to coach anywhere and everywhere. But that's definitely in my near agenda, my agenda is to coach at the college level.
Love it. Have through all this or all the publicity, have you had people reaching out to you who are in need of support, who maybe have a child who's, you know, going through tough times because they're dealing with a disability?
Yeah, I met these really nice people in Vacaville when I was speaking over there. And anyways, he had a nephew that lived, I think, you know, in Fresno, or he didn't live with them, but anyways, he saw my story, and the guy that I actually met, the uncle, was very surprised to see me at the speaking or appearance, and you know, his nephew was not there, so we stay in contact. I give my contact info, and anyways, I got to meet one of the nephews, or his nephew, that was really, you know, inspired by my story, and I invited him out to a game, and he was, you know, fortunately able to make a game, and he made our last game, and good thing we won. We put up a good show, I guess you can say, for him. But the kid was amazing. He was very uplifting for me to talk to, but yeah, you know, like I said, that's probably the best part about this story is hearing other, you know, people being uplifted from it and things like that. So it was awesome to meet him.
That's so cool, Rob. Some things are meant to be. It's going to be great to have you part of San Diego and part of Challenge Athletes Foundation. I think they're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff together.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you guys have in store for me. I mean, who knows? Maybe I can get on a wheelchair that goes on sand, and I can just cruise the shore right there on the beach.
Absolutely. I think they do. I think they do have motorized beach chairs. There's so much technology that's coming out. Have you seen, just in your lifetime, in terms of the technology for your chair, has it changed a lot?
It has over the years, but you know what? Actually, people find it funny that I have not updated my chair since 2007, and you can call it attachment or whatever you call it, but this chair is just, it's perfectly aligned for me. I mean, the way it's programmed and things like that. I actually have had an upgrade with Quantum, and the wheelchair just didn't fit my needs. And this chair that is a rear wheel wheelchair, you know, it's been awesome, and it's gone through a lot. So,
you know, when you find something that works, you don't want to mess with it.
Totally, you don't want to try to fix anything that's not broken.
Exactly. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for taking so much time, but I really appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll be doing a lot together, and it'll be great to have you here in San Diego.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it, and I hope to connect with you soon here in the near future.
Love it. Rob Mendez has been our guest again. We're brought to you by UCAN. Perform, workout, energize. That's GenerationUCAN.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We just sent out 3,260 grants totaling $4.8 million to keep Challenge Athletes in game of life through sport. To help out, go to ChallengedAthletes.org. That's a good number, right, Rob?
That definitely is. I can't. That's amazing.
Over $112 million we've raised now in 26 years. And you can check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, BabbittVille.com. As always, endurance lives here.